You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. I'm joined in the studio today with Wally Flocka, Ray Jeezy. Well, I am, and still missing in action. And I'm Fish, man. You know, this is our Thanksgiving edition. You know, we got stories already before we even get to the appetizer pregame. What happened, Wally? Let me know what happened.
It's been a stressful day. After a long day in the office, after helping out with an interview, I go to my car, and it's a flat. And it's raining, it's cold. I'm sitting down there, my slack's wet. It's just a bad day so far.
You messed up your Steve Harvey Cedric suit.
Hey man, you know I wasn't pimping with the suit anymore. That was terrible, just terrible.
So what's up, Ray? What's going on with you Thanksgiving, man? You ready for Thanksgiving?
Oh yeah, man. Vegan stand up, man. Eggplant, cabbage, greens, broccoli, rice,
brown rice,
potatoes. Nah, steamed rice, white rice.
Okay.
Man, yeah, you ain't even gonna slip up on Thanksgiving. You gonna fall temptation to the meat.
Mac and cheese, maybe at the worst. But
what's up with the pecans? Y'all gonna have pecan pie?
Nah. Traditional sweet potatoes. You remember the pecan pie?
I like man, you put me on a pecan, man. I don't know what to say.
Hey, Food Network. Bobby Flay did a throwdown last week. Thanksgiving joint, and the chick made some pecan pie from scratch.
What's going on in your household?
I don't know. I got the in-laws coming over, and hopefully that my wife's brother's wolf don't put her feet up on my couch again. If not, there's going to be some problems.
Will they understand the game of football?
Yeah.
what you trying to say?
Yeah, man.
What are you trying to say?
She's from the islands. My wife's mom's from the islands.
Oh, okay.
I mean, even though I don't like her brother's input of football, I don't know. It's like, he's one of those guys that likes talking about football
and doesn't know anything.
Doesn't really
about it.
With an accent too, right?
Nah,
don't even be nub.
He's
from here.
Oh.
Man, they like Wally. They sellouts, man.
Hey, go
ahead.
Not a sellout.
Yeah, man.
I don't like Donovan.
Nah,
I'm the best of two worlds. That's
no,
all.
Man. I like talk. If I'm going to talk about football, I like talking about people that's actually informative. But you know, man, that's our person. We talk about them later during the halftime break. But about to hop into that appetizer, man. Josh Hamilton wins the AL MVP. Joey Votto wins the NL MVP. Allen Iverson makes his start in Turkey. That's for you, Wally.
15 points first game, 2 points second.
Paul Williams gets knocked out in the second round. Will I am, where you at?
You know he loves Paul Williams out there.
And then we got Gilbert Arenas and Clinton Porters were compared a little bit in a Washington Post article. Ray, I know that was the article you was interested in. You know, they were compared very similarly as far as how they been representatives of the D.C. area in the last few years. And they pretty much came up the same time. I thought maybe Porters was like a year up on him. But it pretty. I mean, their storylines are very similar, and it was actually an interesting article by Mike Weiss. Yeah.
Shout out to Mike Weiss, man. I enjoyed it because it made me think that Gilbert and Porters are underappreciated, and nobody remembers what they did for the city. Like when Gilbert was at his high point, man, he was hitting game winners. He had that party of love. Diddy came. He brought a lot of love to the city. CP did the same thing, man. He started out with a bang, that long run. That's what most people pointed out after reading this article. And I actually enjoyed it, man. It made me a bigger fan of both. So shout out to Mike Wise again.
Yeah, I mean, when these two came into D.C., pretty much brought back the D.C. fan base in terms of sports. You had, in the 90s, the Redskins haven't been in the playoffs. I mean, the 90s were the last time the Redskins was in the playoffs. And same for the Wizards. And when Gilbert and Porters came to town, they got to the playoffs. You know, they got some success in the playoffs, too, as well. So, I mean, to me, the negative talk for these guys have been more towards the media more than fans. And, you know, I just want to – I mean, I hope Alexander Ovechkin doesn't get in trouble because they'll probably turn on him too. Like they done, you know, Clinton and the company.
I mean, Arenas did get in trouble, but Porters hasn't been in trouble. Mm-hmm. Porters has been good off the field, man. And he's been, you know, a hard worker. You can't complain about that.
That's true.
So Facebook has gone off about this too.
Have they?
Yeah, it's been a lot of response on Facebook. So
yeah, shout out to Tony Snow.
Is it good or bad responses?
No. It's been very informative, actually, man. Everybody has their own opinions on it.
Well, I think personally that Clinton Porters and Gilbert Arenas, they're going to fall into that category of like local legends of the, unfortunately, like the Rod Stricklands of the world. You know, guys. They always going to be. You know, people always going to hold them down. Like for some reason, you know, Bama's around the way love Rod Strickland for some reason.
Really?
Yeah. Rod Strickland's big. Rod Strickland, they used to put him on the Go-Go's.
Nah, you said Liddell Echols a couple weeks ago. He's a bad example.
Liddell Echols is a
Robert
that's like the Hall Jeff Malone.
He's a Bullets Hall of Famer. Mitchell Butler.
Yeah.
Mitchell Butler. He played in Blue Chips, man. He had a cameo. Well, Ricky Irvin actually still lives in the area, man. He does charity golf events and everything.
That's like Jay Walker when he was at Howard, man. Everybody,
yeah, Jay Walker was like, a beast.
Yeah, Jay Walker's about to be Doug Williams.
Well, he should have been.
He's a politician.
Yeah, I know.
I hope Gilbert doesn't fall in that category. He's much better than a lot of those people.
But in other news, we're going to talk about Maryland recruiting with G-Town. That's something we talked about earlier, though, Wally. I mean, why do you think Maryland can't recruit and G-Town can?
I just think that, you know, from what I've heard in terms of Maryland individuals who went to College Park, I heard that, you know, Gary Williams is a terrible coach. I heard he's a bad, not a terrible coach, but he's an asshole.
I hear he's a brown eye.
Lack of a better
term. He's a brown eye, man. Mm-hmm.
Tony Dungy, just cut the radio show.
But no, only thing I've ever heard from, as far as regarding him, Gary Williams, is that AAU coaches, not a lot of AAU coaches in the area really like him. I mean, that's why you see a lot of players from this area go to other. I mean, Villanova has killed this area the last few years. And then you have, you know, Duke has always had a dominant role in this area. So,
and UConn.
Yeah, UConn. I mean, think about it. Who else is, I mean, Jeff Green was a guy from this area that went to Georgetown.
Northwestern.
Yeah, Northwestern. Roy Hibbert was from this guy who went to Georgetown.
Adelphi.
I really can't think of that big-time guy from Maryland, from this area, that went to Maryland recently. I mean, you had that one year where they got, Travis Garrison and McCray and them, but, I mean, they weren't even, they was a class that they really looked down upon by the end of their career. So, I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, Ray? Let me give you a quick fact. Jarrell Benham, Warrenton, Virginia, and this is Georgetown's roster. Jason Clark, Arlington, VA. Ryan Doherty, Kingsington, Maryland. Austin Freeman, Mitchellville, Maryland. Henry Simmons, Baltimore, Maryland. Markel Starks, Accokeek, Maryland. Julian Vaughn, Vienna, Virginia. And Chris Wright, Bowie, Maryland. If I counted that right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 players on Georgetown's roster, all from this area, and most of them impact players. Maryland has 4. Adrian Bowie, Dino Gregory, Erson Levent, and Sean Mosley. And
how many of you guys are really impact players on their team?
Well, Sean Mosley is, unfortunately. And so is,
unfortunately? Why would you say that?
Well, I'm not the biggest Sean Mosley fan, but he's a hard worker, though.
Okay.
Gary knows how to recruit. He knows people that he can pretty much puppet.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you.
I think Sean Mosley's one of those people. No disrespect to him, but Adrian Bowie is decent. I know, Wally, you don't like him.
No,
you know, Gregory, he's not good at all.
Maryland's whole style bores me. There's no play other than the guy from Connecticut, excuse me, from Connecticut.
Jordan Williams.
Yeah, he's not from here. That's the only guy I think that's actually talented to me.
That has actually maybe NBA aspirations one day.
Peashawn Howard, he's a freshman. He went to Oak Hill. That doesn't count because he's really from Los Angeles. So he's good, though. You got to check him out.
Man, Oak Hill is like 10 hours away from here.
They don't have internet access. They don't have
Oak Hill's no even where near this place.
But like Ray said, you know, Georgetown, for years, though, they've always did that. Either you were African or you were local. They always got local talent. They start from John Thompson.
But we know what school you just signed a letter of intent with.
I tried to, but it didn't work.
You would think their soccer team was good.
But no, I think that, you know, it's just wild how, you know, in this area that, you know, dominates on talent, you know, Gary Williams has yet to even really tap into the pool. I mean, think about it. Kevin Durant's from this area. Kevin Durant goes to Texas to play basketball. Michael Beasley's from this area. He goes to Kansas State. An assistant coach at Kansas State is from this area, and he didn't even want to bring him on his staff. I mean, he winds up going to Kansas State from Charlotte. So, I mean, just when you just take a deep look at, even, you know, years past when we were in high school or years after we left high school, think about the Bogans and all those guys.
Yeah.
Where did they go?
What I heard, though, another thing I heard about Gary Williams is that as soon as they won the national championship, he felt like people should come to Maryland.
Yeah, I heard his
recruit.
Arrogance, he just went through the roof. And, I mean, I don't even know what to even say on that.
The last person that came from this area that was good was Steve Francis, I believe. Mm-hmm. He did get a junior college transfer.
Yeah, Juan Dixon.
And Ryan
Baltimore.
Randall. Juan Dixon.
From Baltimore, if you want to count that.
Well, sure, I guess you can. Baltimore, because I counted Baltimore. Yeah. All the people I counted. So, I don't know what's up with Gary, man. It's no definitive answer on why he can't land a big recruit. So a lot of people say he doesn't even go after them because he doesn't want the one-and-dones. But that doesn't seem to be the case because they go everywhere else.
Yeah.
So
Georgetown's not getting one-and-dones.
Exactly.
I mean, Greg Monroe, if the one-and-dones that have come to Georgetown, well, I mean, when's the last time you can think of a real one-and-done? I mean, most of them have at least stuck out for at least 2 years.
I can't remember the last Georgetown one and done player.
Because, you know, even when AI came, he was there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Greg Monroe, even though everyone thought he was going to be one and done, actually stayed for 2 years. So, I mean, it's been kind of a while since that actual one and done guy, because, I mean, Georgetown's been able to develop their players. So.
Yep, Gary has a problem.
But we about to switch a little bit. We about to get into That's You. It's a new little segment we got going on, man. You know, these first couple folks, man, they've been making headlines the past couple days, man. You know, won't y'all let them know who y'all going to be? Who you going to be?
I'm going to be Leslie Frazier.
Head coach of Vikings?
Yes, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings.
Who you going to be over there, Ray?
I'll be Brett Favre.
I guess I got to be Chili. So, I mean, let's start off with Brett, man. What's up, Brett? What's going on over there, man? What are you thinking in your head with Leslie Frazier and I'm being fired, man? What's going on? I went down to Mississippi, picked you up, got you a Wranglers deal, man. You know, what's up? I did all this, give you some money. What's going on, man? Why don't you help me out this season? All
right, let me fix my zipper. I just fired you a text. I hope you like what I just sent you. And, you know, I want to play. Bottom line is, I want to play. And I want to play at a high level. And I can't do that with Chili around. Sorry, Chili.
You know, usually I'm being mistaken for Tony Kornheiser, so, you know, I don't even want to take it too personally. I thought my offense would have worked in Minnesota, you know.
Tony Kornheiser is much better looking than you.
Hey, he has more hair probably, too.
Did you get my text yet?
I think I got it from Randy Moss also. You know, he asked me a few questions while I let him go. And then Ziggy wants to know what I was thinking, too. So, you know, I don't even know what to say on that.
Leslie, I need you, man.
I just want you to just not play. I don't want you to force my hand and make me bench you. I just want you to say you don't want to play. So, Brett, can you do me that favor? Could you not play?
If I throw another interception, I give you permission to choke me. Pants on the ground. Pants on the ground.
You didn't do it for Percy, did you?
I did it for Percy.
And then the other part on that shoe, we got Vince Young and Jeff Fisher. Y'all can go ahead and what do you think about that over there, Vince Young?
Man, I've saved your job a number of times, man. You know, I'm the Willie Beamer of the Tennessee Titans. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa. Yeah. Save my job. I got rid of Pac-Man just to get you in the
strip
clubs.
No, I'm the Willie Beamer.
Just so you can own the strip clubs. And
you see my video? You seen it.
Willie Beamer.
Yeah, you seen it?
I saved you from suicide. You tried to hang yourself, but your head was too big, too. Your head was too big, Vince. And you had a nerd to wear a wave cap.
Come on now, really? You going to bench me for Rusty? Rusty?
You can't wear a wave cap.
What quarterback's name is Rusty?
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
Your hand's messed up.
Man, book them Longhorns, man.
I heard you had an attitude trying to hit somebody with your shoulder pads. Is that true?
That strip club? What are you talking about?
You seen the NBA commercial? Oh, that's your real head on that commercial. You big head bastard. I'm the longest tenured coach in NFL.
I don't even want to say. I guess I'll be Bud Adams. I gotta play together. I don't know.
Hey, you know you like me, Bud.
Yeah, you know. You gotta love them black quarterbacks. That's all I get.
I wish I had Haynesworth back. He's in better shape than you, Vince.
Yeah, Vince is kind of skinny fat though. I don't know.
Hey, I'm not skinny fat.
But other part, man, we going to Richard Seymour and Big Ben here, man. You know, won't you go ahead over there, man, Richard Seymour. Why you slapping?
I slapped him because he likes to take advantage of young white girls. So I just slapped him.
You know what? You act like you wasn't in and you never took one back into the bathroom before, man.
No,
I'm Big Ben.
No, I've never done that.
I got a position called the Big Ben.
I mean, he...
You know what? I mean, I don't even know what to say, man. I got a position called the Big Ben.
I mean, you go on.
When I get there, man, I'm going deep.
First thing first, you're going to complain that I cheap shot at you. Then you, after, you know, I'm getting blown out. And I'm walking back, and you're going to say something? Of course you would smack to the ground. What you think's gonna happen?
Why you have to smack me like I was a woman though, man? Who am I? Y'all got that from your coach cable? is that where you got it from? Because you weren't slapping when you were in Patriot Country. You know what? You weren't slapping me then. I think it's just jealousy because I got the Big Ben move. I know I can't ride my motorcycle right, but you know what? I got the Big Ben move. I
Next
got some
time
tape
I smack
coming
you
out
on
soon.
The motorcycle for real.
That's messed up, though, man. You're just going to slap me.
Hey.
And then you hit an open hand in front of everybody, in front of my lineman. They don't even block for me. And they just
I got the powder ready. I got the powder ready for you. That's all it was.
The baby powder?
The baby powder.
Man, all I know is, you know what? I'm going to make it up to you next time I'm down in Georgia. Because, you know, you played in Georgia, so I know you
know
about the
so
little,
I know about you in Georgia.
I know you know about
know
a couple
about
little
you.
Spots.
I know about your spots.
You know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a copy of my DVD, The Big Ben Move. The Big Ben Move. So, you know what? We're going to keep up with that.
Hey, Big Ben does some slapping himself.
Yeah, yes he does.
But that's a that's you segment, man. We about to hop into a, commercial break. We gonna break down that Skins game when we get back.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene, and recently Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next, it's the big thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers, there's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T, get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry, what you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you're familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene because you never know who's listening.
Been a ride.
I guess I had to. Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. Hey, Wally, let these folks know how to reach you, man.
I got it, man. You can email the show at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can also reach us on Facebook and Twitter. Search Urban Sports Scene. The show can be heard on iTunes, YouTube, and Podbean at walio.podbean.com. Walio is spelled W-A-L-E-O.
Man, we about to get into the turkey part of the segment here on this Thanksgiving edition, man. The Skins game. Man, they pulled it out. They won it. I mean, what's up, man? What do you think about it? Who stood out in the game for you,
man,
there, Wally?
To me, I'm not going to go the obvious, but to me, Keelan Williams stood out to me. He ran hard. Even though he averaged about 3 yards a carry, and I think he had like 68 yards, but he ran hard. And I think even, you know, with Clinton Portis going down, he definitely carried the load.
You know who stood out for me? Graham Gano. Because the little one kick, he couldn't even come close to the bars. But in overtime, he put it right through.
He almost gave me a heart attack because me and Al were watching the game together. And as soon as he kicked it, it was like right down the middle. And I was screaming like, yes, yes, we won. And then, you know, Al was like, hey, turn around. And I was like, damn.
Offensive line was impressive for me. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. I mean, they had a couple injuries. I mean, Dockery's MRI. I mean, a couple guys got hurt.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, everybody got hurt, it seemed like, for the Redskins that day. But, I mean, they pulled it together, and Stephon Howard played a great game.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of Stephon Howard, but he played good, man. I give it to him.
So, I mean, this is kind of a good response for after the Eagles game. I think the thing that really helped them in this game to respond from that earlier game was that I believe it was either the first drive or second drive when Vince Young fumbled.
The Lorenzo Alexander.
Yeah. I think if the Titans would have took that drive and scored, I think it'd have been a letdown to the Skins. But with Lorenzo Alexander causing that fumble, it's kind of like – it was almost like a boost of – you know, it was a boost for him that, you know, we're going to win this game.
Yeah, I agree with you with that. But also I think that, you know, it's not a coincidence that the main – three or the main cogs of individuals who've been here for years were the ones who stepped up. You had Santana Moss, Chris Cooley, Clinton Portis, even before he got hurt, was running hard. Those guys are the heart of the Washington Redskins. It's not a coincidence they played well, and that's why we won the game to me.
Well, I mean, we talked about Clinton Portis early with the article they had about him in the Washington Post with Mike Weiss, but, I mean, Clinton Portis played pretty good until he got hurt a little bit. I mean, is this injury going to affect? I mean, is he going to stay with the Skins after this now? I mean, how? I mean, I don't think the full evaluation of the injury has really come out yet. But I mean, what do you think is going to happen to him?
Well, they did an MRI and there was no tear. So it just hurt. It just hurt. So he's not going to be out for the whole season. And then I know a lot of people were scared that he was going to be hurt for the whole season. I think with this team, you know, if Clinton Portis can stay, can get a little healthier, you know, we have an opportunity to do things. In terms of next year, I don't want to think that far along. I'll say this. He needs to take a pay cut. That's the only way he can stay in Washington.
Yeah, that's the big discussion right now. Clinton Portis has a job in TV after his career is over with. If you've seen him on NFL Network, he's actually good. If I was him, I would take that route because you're just going to do too much damage to your body long term.
Well, I think that I think Clinton Portis might have another year or two left if he goes to the right team as like that second type running back. I mean, maybe he can rejuvenate his career a little bit, like almost what Fred Taylor did when Jones-Drew came. I mean, I think he's not going to automatically, you know, if he does leave the Skins, just not play football anymore. Yeah. I think he's going to try to stick around, catch on with another team for like another season.
Yeah, because the Redskins are, I mean, I've heard rumors and reports that the Redskins are interested in D'Angelo Williams. that's in Carolina because it's last year of his deal. And he won't be coming back to Carolina.
Yeah, they have a stable of running backs. But, I mean, how do you think Big Albert played when he got back to Tennessee, man? I'm pretty sure he rode his boat around a little bit, seen a couple of the old hookers around the neighborhood. You know, I mean, how do you think Big Albert played against the Titans?
I think he played good. I think he played motivated. I mean, he had one tackle, but, I mean, if you look at, you know, his penetration to the backfield, I thought he was okay. I mean, for a D tackle, what'd you really expect?
I thought he was going to step on somebody's face, you know, but I guess he didn't. Jeff Fisher probably talked to him before the game, but, I mean.
He's busy talking to Vince Young. He ain't worried about no Albert Haynesworth.
But next week, man, they playing the Vikings. No chili. We got Leslie coming in. And we got, you know, Will Tavares Jackson play, Brett Favre play, who knows. But, I mean, how you think they're going to do next week against the Vikings?
Another African-American head coach makes me want to root for him. I'm not the biggest Brett Favre fan. I don't think anyone on this show is. So it's a tough one for me. I'm going to go with Washington in this one, but I do believe they'll respond kind of like Dallas, and I'm speaking of the Vikings, with a coaching change.
Yeah, that's my fear, is that he's going to motivate these guys to play hard, and they can come in D.C. and beat us. But, I mean, like I said, Brett Favre is the starting quarterback. If he had went with Tavares Jackson, I'd be a little bit more scared, but he's going with Brett Favre. If we can just, you know, find a way to contain Adrian Peterson, I'm not saying stop, but contain him and put the onus on Brett Favre, I think we can win the game.
We'll get there.
I think the key, not really, is going to be Adrian Peterson. I think he's going to be trying to, if Percy Harvin's healthy, because what guy in the secondary is going to be able to match up with Percy Harvin? I mean, or you want to take Landry and maybe put him on him?
Landry's not going to play. He's doubtful. He's not going to play.
And then, you know, you're not going to want to slide D'Angelo Hall or one of those guys over him, because remember, Sidney Rice is back now. So.
Yeah, but
I guess, you know, we'll have to see what their game plan is going to be. Me personally, I'm going to go with the Vikings because I think that a change of scenery was going to be good for this team and particularly for their defense. I think Leslie Frazier is going to really rally the defense more than the offense because I think it's about that time that the defense is really going to step up. But we're about to hop into a commercial break. We're going to talk more NFL action when we return.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge when we see people serving their country and one another. Volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines. And the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hello, good morning, how you doing? What the move, yeah? Welcome to the future, I'm the captain of the cool kids, the revolutions.
We're back from that break, man. We about to get into them greens and them mashed potatoes. And Ray already eat macaroni and cheese, the vegan version of it, with no eggs in it. You got eggs and cheese in it? What's it got?
Eggs and macaroni and cheese, really?
That's how you got to get your roux.
For real?
Yeah, man.
Are you a chef?
Hey, man, I got to chop it up. I'm like the black Bobby Faye or what's his name?
You said Bobby Faye. Bobby Flay.
But, no, nah, man, that NFL action this week, I mean, what team stood out for you guys this weekend?
Tampa Bay for me.
Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I mean, on the road, 21-0.
I won't say team, but a player that stood out for me was Phillip Rivers. He just continues to impress me. I didn't really watch a lot of the game, but I saw the stats. I mean, he did 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. It's about 233. I mean, I think right now he's definitely the best pocket quarterback in the game.
I mean, I've always liked Phillip Rivers. He's always had that cockiness even back to NC State. I will say this for this season. I mean, it's kind of hard pressed to find a quarterback that's playing better than him this year, especially with less. I mean, none of his receivers have been playing 100%. I mean, if I was to say he might be the leading MVP candidate for the season before they want to give that trophy over to Peyton because, you know, his receivers and all that. He got Reggie Wayne. Phillip Rivers ain't got Reggie Wayne, and, you know, Gase has been hurt. Vincent Jackson has to play, so, I mean, I think this might be the year Phillip Rivers catches
him. Don't get me wrong. Phillip Rivers, I totally agree, he's the best quarterback this year, bar none. But last night, the Broncos wanted to keep everything in front of them, which they did, but they didn't tackle anybody. Mm-hmm. If you look at the Sproles run and Patrick Creighton, the other two touchdowns were short touchdowns, but he really didn't have any big plays last night.
Yeah, I mean they were pretty much bad tackling and busted plays.
The thing about Phillip Rivers that makes him more intriguing than most quarterbacks is that he's consistently going deep, and he's an accurate deep passer. Consistently, he consistently goes deep. You have Tom Brady who dinks and dunks his way, and you know Peyton Manning. You know he's very aggressive. I'm not gonna knock Peyton Manning.
The offense, though.
But you know. Phillip Rivers consistently goes.
I mean, right now you can see that Phillip Rivers is playing in the zone right now.
Yeah, he's in the zone.
I mean, he is. But One thing, I mean, Phillip Rivers impressed me. The team, I've dogged them all year, but they actually showed up and played. The Buffalo Bills, I will give them some credit. They scored like 42 and a half a quarter against the Bills. I mean, against the Bengals. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Stevie Johnson, I mean, that's whoever picked him up in fantasy. That was a good move, but they impressed me. I've been dogging them all year. So
That's a good segue, because that's the team that disappointed me the most, was the Cincinnati Bengals last week. I think they were up 31-14 at a point, and they still lost that game. I don't get how they can be this bad.
You know what? I wish King Al was here so he can tug us up on them Carson Palmer guys.
Hey, I'm just
USC folks. So
it's amazing to me.
San Fran disappointed me.
What did they do? I mean, they didn't even show up.
They laid an egg. He's right.
Yeah, Troy Smith should have played better. Singletary,
man. But they still got
to be a mean coordinator somewhere next year.
But did you see the standings though?
They have a shot.
They still have a legitimate shot. That is amazing.
You know what? The NFL needs to actually come up with a rule. It's like, you know what? If you ain't even going to get to 8-8, you can't hit in the playoffs.
Just like the Big East.
NFC West is the Big East right now.
You just got to get in the dance. That's the key. You never know what can happen, man. If San Fran was to get in, don't be surprised they gave somebody.
Of course,
they
get to have their home, that one home game if they win the division.
Might be Philly.
You know what? That's a good look there for Philly. I mean, be honest with you, if I'm a wild card team, I'm looking forward to whoever wins in the NFC West.
I don't want to play in Seattle. That's the one thing place I wouldn't probably want to play at.
Man, I think it's going to wind up being St. Louis or someone else. What's up with our standards and our picks lately, though, man? What's going on with them?
Well, let's break it down. I mean, Chicago, Miami, start off on a Thursday night. Fish, you and I think alike. You thought Tyler Thigpen was going to have his coming out party. That's what I thought. That's why I picked Miami. Obviously, we were wrong, and Will T was wrong, too. Why do you pick Chicago? What made you pick Chicago at the time?
Well, what made me pick Chicago was that, you know, I could tell by the trend of the game before against the Vikings that they would run. Mike Martz would go more of a running style. He doesn't want Jay Cutler, you know, losing the game for him. And, you know, I figured they would get Forte more touches. And Miami's run defense isn't as good as the Vikings, so I thought they would have a little more success.
Are the Bears serious? I mean, I don't take them serious still.
Well, you know what? It's kind of hard, but they keep playing good football, especially their defense. You know so, I mean, the more they build up, you might take them a little serious more.
Do you know what they're ranked on defense, right? They're number three.
Yeah, they're total defense.
And, you know, so in terms of that, if Jay Cutler, if they just have – everybody knows that formula. You run the ball well. If you can run the ball, play good defense, and not turn the ball over, that's a recipe for a championship kind of team.
Well, I think they don't intimidate anybody. I mean, they can be beat.
I mean, they can be beat, definitely. But, you know, they're up there in takeaways. They're a solid defense. You know, the Bears are, to me, are for real.
Yeah, whatever. They come through the Georgia Dome. They going home. Anyway, Oakland versus Pittsburgh. We all picked Pittsburgh, but Will, he was trying to be a genius with this one.
Well,
and he showed how.
Fell short.
Exactly. Is that the reason why he's last right now?
Yeah, that's why shorter is last.
I mean, come on now. I mean, I didn't even see a reason why he was going to go with Oakland. I mean, hell, I even though I traded for Darren McFadden, I wasn't going to pick him to win.
Yeah, hey. Jason
Campbell. We'll get to
fancy later. Jason Campbell. He had
He is who we thought he was. Yeah.
Well, I told you. I mean, we talked about it last show. I told you, man.
Oh, no running game. Yeah, last show y'all did.
No running game. It ain't going to happen.
But a couple weeks before that, it was like the accurate throws in overtime against Kansas City. He looked exactly the same in that win as he did yesterday.
They have no wide receivers on that team. There's no way they can even intimidate that team.
In the beginning of the year, you said Darius Heyward Bey was the guy to look out for.
No, the
guy from Maryland.
According to Oakland Radio. According to
episode something.
You're right. But according to Oakland Radio, they hyped them so hard.
Anyway, moving on, man. Green Bay, Minnesota, we all pick Green Bay. I'm not talking about that. We've said enough. But I will say this. Pat Williams was on ESPN Radio here in D.C. today, and he admitted that the locker room was frustrated with Brett Favre up until the change with Leslie Frazier.
Oh, for real?
Which nobody else, everybody else is PC, which stands for politically correct. This morning on Mike and Mike, Vasante Shenko was on there. He said, it doesn't matter what I think about Brett Favre. You know, it's about what the coaches think.
Oh, he was singing a different tune last year.
Yeah.
He loved him.
You know
what?
He's one of those Brett Favre guys. He's one of those guys that probably carry Brett Favre's bag.
Tavares should be playing. Anybody else, like Jason Campbell, would be on the bench right now. So, moving on, Indy versus New England. Wally put on the production notes that I'm the only one who picked Indy. So that means you were wrong. Yeah. The rest of us got that right.
Exactly.
They were close, though.
I mean, it was a good game.
Nine times out of ten, Peyton Manning makes that throw.
Yeah, I mean, he just got pressure.
That was a
bad angle. That was a bad angle for him to throw that ball.
Actually, it seemed like the same type of mistakes Peyton Manning used to always make at the end of the game back in the day.
Against New England, right?
It never really... Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, years ago before Peyton, I mean, these seem like used to be always regular things that happen.
Go ahead.
I like the killer instinct, though. Yeah. They went field goal range. They could easily ran up the middle a couple times.
I think, you know, if they had the same defensive strategy they had towards the last couple of series, the game would have been totally different.
New England's beating Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Indy. They're going to have home field advantage. You got to go through that cold Foxborough weather. They're poised for another Super Bowl run, in my opinion.
Thing about it is they're going to be beat up there because Baltimore proved it.
Yeah, I think
that was last year, though. This is a different team.
But I do think, like Fish said, I think Baltimore can beat them. I think the Jets can beat them. I think they can go down there and beat them.
Because, I mean, it's not like neither one of those teams is not teams that can play also, cold weather.
And I think the Chargers can beat them. I think the Chargers can do it.
Well, we'll find out. So are you guys sending out the best team in the AFC?
No, I think the Chargers are the best team in the AFC at the moment, even with a 5-5 record. They got the number one defense and offense in the league.
I wouldn't say they're the number one team. I'd rather see them say give me a few more weeks when they actually get over 500, not just even.
You can't lose to the St. Louis Rams, who the Falcons just blew out.
Only by special teams. They only lose games on special teams. They don't lose games because they lose games on fluke.
Not true to me.
They lose the only
game
against
the Chiefs, man, they had the opportunities and lost.
Special teams. Arenas had a touchdown. They had a number of special team touchdowns. And a block.
That's debatable. We'll get there at some point. NYG, the Giants versus Philly. Will and Wally pick Philly. Will obviously is biased. Wally likes Vic. He's biased too. The Giants had their shot to win the game. I don't like the Eli rule because when he slid, he was on the ground. And actually, his leg touched the defender's leg. I think it was Asante Samuel.
Not when the ball was already out or coming out before it touched
him. He was on the. They said the ground can't cause a fumble. He slid. Usually when a quarterback slides, they're down.
Ground can't cause a fumble if you get touched.
But the ground caused the fumble.
Unless you get touched. If you don't get touched, then you can fumble. It's just like the dude. For prime example, when the dude that who caught the ball, I guess when it's the San Diego Chargers game, when he caught it and just put the ball on the ground, he was down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fumble.
It's a fumble. Same thing. He didn't get touched. That's the same thing. The same rules apply.
No, not for a quarterback.
No, you got a head first slide.
I thought the rule for a quarterback is as soon as you're showing indications of sliding.
That was a snow slide. Like, you're playing outside.
Yeah. It was a bad slide to me.
The Giants had their chances. I'm just saying, me and Fisher, the pick wasn't that bad. We got the question here, are the Eagles the best team in the NFC? Absolutely not.
Of course, why not, Ray? Why?
Because
Atlanta
don't have the best record in it.
I think Atlanta
has the best record in NFL, man.
They're the best team in the NFC?
But Philly did beat Atlanta.
I probably would say no. I think that right now Philly's beating their division rivals. Their division rivals, they know each other by heart. Now, when Philly plays Atlanta or Green Bay or something like that, and you see how they play, then I'll probably, you know, give you an answer off that. But until they play, I mean, I think Philly's like the second, maybe third best
team. They did beat Atlanta. They beat Atlanta this year. But Green Bay, they did lose to Green Bay. But I do think Philly's the best team due to the fact that, you know, their offense is just too dynamic at the moment. I don't think a solid defense can mess with this offense at the moment.
Well, I read somewhere they were saying that Vic's being kind of lucky as far as things that's been going on, as far as this type of plays. A lot of plays have been going his way.
A little bit of both. Yeah.
I mean, I think you can take it. Yeah, all right, yeah, he's been lucky, but also he's also proven. That's why I say, I mean, right now, I would like to see Philly play a couple more games, like maybe a couple more weeks. Then I would say, all right, they're the best team. But right now, I'm going with Atlanta or Green Bay.
Remember the year where Vic had that long run against Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
Deion Sanders said, I love Michael Vick, but the knock on him is, you got to force him right. All his big runs come to the left. And if you watch that whole game, whenever they forced him right, he struggled. Also, he still can't take a hit. And I think that's what impacted him. The Giants couldn't stop Philly, actually. Yeah. They got some good breaks. But I will say, let's see what happens in Chicago. You just hyped Chicago defense.
Yeah.
If they lay some wood to him, we'll see what happens. Yeah. But overall, Fish is still in the lead as far as our picks go at 13-12. I'm 12-13, still a game back because we picked the same exact order. Hopefully that won't happen today. Wally, what's your record?
12-13.
And Will is?
11-14.
11-14. So let's make our picks this week. If y'all on Facebook, Twitter, make your picks, man. Let us know what's going on. New Orleans versus Dallas, I'm taking NO.
I'm taking the upset special. I'm taking Dallas.
Man, I'm taking the upset special with the Cowboys because they used to play on 4 days. And I think Jason Garrett is going to keep it going. I mean, I need to go opposite of you, Ray. I ain't going
to keep nice.
Yeah. I'm going to go opposite of you.
Nice. Well, who do Will pick before I make my point real quick?
That's a good question. I believe Will picked New Orleans. Let me check on my phone real quick.
New Orleans offense is back in interim. I got Garrett Hartley, so I need some points.
Yeah, he got New Orleans. Will got New Orleans. N-O. All
right, sweet. So, hey, that's a split right there. And I don't think Jason Garrett's style is what's changed the Cowboys. Who is Jason Garrett? A backup.
Man, I don't think it's his style. I think it's
Carrot because they should hire Kubiak.
Nah, I think his personality of I'm not a pusher.
You know what?
It's probably been the most thing that's affected.
You know what, though? I like Jason Garrett because, you know, he's referenced Jimmy Johnson. He's picked his brain and
oh yeah, extends.
Hey, he's picked his brain and you know and it's working out for him right now. So
yeah, man, if you need a rushing man, call Jason Garrett. Green Bay versus Atlanta.
You gonna get that Garrett?
That sounds kind of nasty, dog. Rex Grossman's gonna be a great coach. All these backup quarterbacks gonna be awesome. What's the dude's name? In that Jim Sorgi is the next.
Jim Sorgi is the next
thing, man. He's more than
John
team.
The next, yeah,
John Gruden played football.
John Gruden played football?
No,
yeah, he did.
Where?
For who?
He played in college.
Oh, I'm about to say yeah. Typical.
He probably played for Salisbury State.
Just like Mike Shanahan's son.
Yeah,
no. He probably played for Coastal Carolina for their team with Mike Tolbert. Green Bay versus Atlanta. You already know I'm taking Dirty Birds, man. Tough game though. This will prove who the best team in the NFC is right here.
They're playing Green Bay, right?
Nah, they play in Atlanta, homie. Georgia Dome. Matt Ryan, 18-1. Oh, yeah, he beat the Baltimore Ravens at home. Oh, don't play with me.
I got Atlanta, man. Look out for more.
Ah, yes.
I'm going with Atlanta. I mean, only reason why.
Said it with a smile.
Yeah, I'm going with Atlanta. They're playing in Atlanta. I think that's the Georgia Dome's a big advantage for
them
right now.
And that's where we're going to be in the playoffs, baby.
So I'm going with
this
Atlanta.
This is my year. I don't care if I don't get a fantasy championship. If I was winning the Super Bowl, I don't have to watch football no more. That's what I've been living for my whole life. So,
Will T got Atlanta. He picked Atlanta.
All right, so we all got Atlanta. Clean sweep. That usually bodes well, if you noticed from last week, when we all got the clean sweep.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, Philly versus Chicago. I got Philly. I was about to go to upset just because I know you probably going to pick Philly, but I can't do it. D'Angelo Hall picked them all four times.
At it right now.
Oh, gosh. The blitz. The McDermott blitz is going to be real.
You know who I'm actually going with? I'm going with Chicago here.
I thought about that myself.
I mean, I think that
I'm going to be number one in the standings this week.
Depending on the weather and
a gift card.
The cover two, I mean, it may work into their advantage against Vic. I mean, the Bears have linebackers that can actually run. So that's going to help them a little bit. So I'm going with Chicago here.
Well, nice pick.
I'm going to go with Philly. The only reason why I'm going to go with Philly, though their linebackers can run and, you know, their DNs are fast, like Julius Peppers especially, I believe he'll over-pursue because he's going to want that sack. And Vickers can run right by him.
Who will T pick?
Philly. Self-explanatory.
All right, good. Because if you would have called in, he would have told us a 5-minute explanation of why he picked Philly. That was a long-winded thing last week, man.
For the fantasy segment.
That's why we ain't calling him.
Not at all.
We ain't got no more minutes on our phone. Tampa Bay versus Baltimore. I'm taking Baltimore.
Man, I'm going with the chicken boxes, Baltimore here. Yeah. I mean, I like Josh Freeman and Aurelius. Pull me another one.
You know
and,
what?
Mike Williams, boy. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's, when your name's Mike Williams, you got to get in trouble. But I'm going with the chicken boxes.
I haven't heard from Brian Burton on Twitter since the Falcons
beat
the Ravens.
You made him mad.
Yeah, he retweeted Skip Bayless talking about the whole Roddy White push-all. He's a nice guy.
He needs to get over it.
Hi, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm choosing Baltimore as well, and Will T's he's picked Baltimore too.
All right, last one. San Diego versus Indianapolis. We all know that San Diego has their number.
Yes, we do.
We all do. It should be a clean sweep here, the Chargers.
Yeah, Peyton Manning doesn't play good against the 3-4. He showed in the playoffs that when they played him, a few seasons ago, when they were supposed to win that game. And who was that, Billy Volick? Or who came out of there?
Yeah, it was Billy Volick. Yeah, it was. After Phillip Rivers got hurt.
And wasn't Charlie White hurt?
No,
it was Billy Volick.
I'm going with San Diego here.
He might be a good coach one day.
Yeah, I'm going with the Chargers, and Will's picked the Chargers as well.
But we about to hop into a commercial break. When we get back, we're going to talk that good old fantasy football.
What should I do? Should I admit that I've made mistakes? Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Should I give you a history lesson?
What should I do? Should I tell you how much fun we had? So, this went well. Should I really believe I ruined my legacy? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Should I have my tattoo removed? Want to see my shiny new shoes? Should I just sell shoes? Shiny new shoes? Or should I tell you,
I am not a role model. Hi, Chuck. Seriously, what should I do? Should I tell you I'm a championship chaser? Did it for the money? Rings? Should I be who you want me to be? Should I accept my role as a villain? Maybe I should just disappear. Should I stop listening to my friends? They're my friends. Should I try acting?
He's got to deal with the heat, man. Be patient. After a while, the temperature drops and everything is free and easy.
Should I be writing this down? Should I make you laugh?
Or should I read you a soulful poem? Shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. But still, like air, I'll rise.
Or should we just clear the deck and start over? Coming through here! What should I do? Should I be who you want me to be?
Your brain, then I'ma start rocking gold teeth and fangs, cause that's what a motherfucker monster do.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene, man. We about to hop into that good old fantasy football, man. What's up, man? How you guys players do this week, man? I mean, Wally, who'd you have starting and picking and sitting? Who you have going?
Before we get to mine, I think Ray has some information.
Man. You can reach us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. That's our email address. Hit us up. You can also reach us on Facebook and Twitter. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Check us out on iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and the address is walio.podbean.com. Walio spelled W-A-L-E-O.
Okay, you was asking how I'm doing in my leagues.
I mean, how's your players doing that you picked me to start last week?
Sure.
Go.
In terms of, I said to play to start Braylon Edwards. He had 86 yards and a touchdown. I said to sit McFadden, just like you did, Fish, 14 yards, that's all he had. And my sleeper was a really just Ben. That didn't work out for him. He had 2 catches for 14 yards.
What about you over there, Ray?
I said start Sean Green. Didn't work out. 42 yards rushing, I believe. My sleeper was the St. Louis defense. I didn't pick that nonsense. This is actually wrong. I said Steven Jackson, which was right. And my sleeper
with Devon Best?
Heck no, it wasn't Devon Best. I don't know where Wally got this stuff,
huh? What are you talking about?
This is what's on the production notes, man.
Yeah, that's a shame.
I don't even know what my sleeper was.
That is a shame.
Who was Keely Williams?
No, that was Will sleeping, man.
Oh yeah, that's messed up. Yeah, that's messed up.
Yours
was John. No, that was Fit. Yeah. No, I didn't know yours. That's why I couldn't put on there because you had. I didn't even tell you. I didn't ask you. That's what yours. Your sleeper was what's his name? The running back from the Jets.
Sean Green.
No,
that was my starter.
That was your starter.
Well, he ain't do nothing anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I know, but my I said sit Steven Jackson. That was good. I don't remember who my doggone sleeper was. I'm kind of mad about that.
He mustn't do too good for
no,
you.
No, it's not fair because he put Devon Best on his production note every week as the person I pick. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's a shame. I screwed you.
I mean,
who's he go with over there? His boy Vic.
Let's see
what.
Yeah, he's right because
he had sit boy Forte. Even
10 minutes to explain.
Forte had a pretty big game against the Dolphins on that Thursday night, and he said his sleeper was Keelan Williams
because he stole Ray.
Yeah, he stole his pick.
Yeah, he played good. Who was my sleeper? I'll think about it.
Different person.
Whatever, man.
I don't know. I had my starter, my sleeper was the same person, John Kitna. I mean, he had a good game. He had a few touchdowns. The person had sitting, we was right with that McFadden, though. I mean, playing Pittsburgh's defense, I don't expect him to do too much. But man, how you guys doing the leagues this weekend? I know you guys want to talk about y'all game.
Well, we can. I mean, I lost to Wally by 5 points.
Randy McMichael.
That was a fun game. You know what? Fish might have been right. I don't take fantasy serious enough because I made a lot of substitutions at the last minute trying to be funny. But Wally always makes the point that it happens to everybody. We all make bad subs. Wally actually made some subs. He regretted with Crabtree and some other folks. So we split the season, man. Good game.
Yeah, we split. Both teams play hard. It was tough.
Might have messed my playoff chances.
It was tough. You know, Ray did that on purpose. Ray likes to he likes to torture me. He did that on purpose. You know, he likes to play people on Monday night so I can sweat it out.
I thought
this
it was
time,
funny.
This time I just didn't watch the game. I got
you
so
didn't watch the game?
Hell no, I ain't watched the game. I wasn't playing.
Michael, you saw that touchdown he had in his hand?
Actually, I saw the replay. I was like, dang.
That was like the beginning of the series. It's like, I want to say the first or second drive.
Ray is a mean. Ray is a nice guy, but at the same time, he's a mean dude.
Well, yeah, I did because I know Wally hates watching. And I did it the first time with Jeremy Shockey, and it actually worked.
It worked. And what's his name?
Pierre Thomas. Yeah, so it worked. I did it a couple years back. I do it every time we play. Pretty much.
He does.
Monday night person.
He even did our championship game.
I do it. So whoever I got playing on Monday night, usually I put him on.
I was looking for a Monday night person.
I don't dig that.
But I don't like that.
It gives you that last chance.
No, it just I know you hate
it. It makes the games even more fun.
It's so annoying. It does.
It makes the games a lot more exciting.
In this case, it might cost me playoffs because I got a tough schedule. I got Keith and Fish to finish.
But yeah, man, I want 3-2
in
my
BCS
league,
schools
though.
That are good.
I don't like my league schedule, man, because I'm trying to figure out how am I just playing like all playoff caliber teams down the stretch. Where's my Justin's at? Where are my Al's at? Where's my big runs?
You need to play the commish.
I mean,
Jack Johnson.
I played a guy this week, last week, who was like, you know, battling for first place. Then I played a guy this week who was also battling for first place. I don't like my schedule, man. Every time I turn around playing off a playoff caliber guy. So
I went 3-1 in my leagues, though. Actually, I'm in the playoff spot in all these except for this one. So I'm just looking to get one championship in my leagues. But I would love to go to championship in this league, obviously. But, you know, just having fun, man. It was a fun game, man. Moving on, though. I'm looking forward to Thanksgiving. Watching Calvin Johnson. Turn ACL. I'll recover fully next year. So.
But what player stood out for this week for you guys in fantasy? Though?
Steve Johnson. Steve Johnson. Even though I don't know why he pulled his shirt up with that message.
I didn't get that message. What was it again?
I don't know.
Something stupid.
I'm not T.O. I don't know. What
I don't know. It was like, I don't know. It was random.
I mean, the guy that
some wings with blue cheese?
Yeah. The guy that stood out for me this weekend was Greg Jennings, though, man. He just went off. And if usual, that's the dude who plays against me. He just goes off. He hasn't really been doing too much. This dude goes off for like 30-plus points.
The defense that stood out to me was the Baltimore Ravens defense. They had 2 touchdowns.
Look who they played, Brian St. Pierre.
Hey, man, 2 touchdowns. Hey, I mean, and the first one was like kind of crazy.
Yeah, they do that to the other Boston College quarterback they played, unfortunately. Ryan Burton.
But who's the guy you think you might be thinking about starting this week, though?
I'm starting Sean Hill versus New England. 29th versus the pass, the Patriots are.
I would say I'm picking any Patriot receiver.
That's who's starting?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You haven't seen this game before? The Patriots played the Lions, and they played like a few years ago, and the Patriots put up like a half a hundred.
This is not the same Patriots.
Oh, the Redskins.
No, a few years ago when they played on
that same year. You talking about that same year?
Yeah, I think the year they went undefeated. They played on Thanksgiving.
They blew them out
by like halftime.
But that's a different team, though. But it's I know what you're saying, though. Yeah. It's a Lions, though. It is a Lions.
Ndamukong Suh is.
But who you going with over there, Wally?
Yeah, I'm. Even though he's had like 0 points and 1 point the last couple of weeks, I'm going with Randy Moss. He's playing against the Houston Texans, and I'm sorry.
You sticking with that Randy Moss?
Yeah, I'm going to in this one because, I mean, they're playing the Houston Texans, and we already saw what Santonio Holmes and Braylon Edwards did. Santonio Holmes had 120 and 2 touchdowns, and Braylon had 86 and a touchdown. And, you know, every week they make somebody look good.
I still can't think of who my sleeper was last week.
Any guy you think you might think about benching this week?
Well, listen to the show. Fred Jackson versus Pittsburgh.
That's who you going to bench?
That's who I hope Keith benches, yeah. Because he has him.
I don't know. I guess the guy that I would bench this week, I don't know. I'm going to go Sean Hill. I'm going to go opposite of Ray.
He's hating.
So we're going to have a very interesting
actually, Ray, this is one.
But if I want to say that, you wouldn't have thought
this
of
is, it. This so isn't personal, but I was going to say Jamal Charles. He's playing against Seattle, and I think they give up 3.9 yards a carry, and they're even better in terms of their defense is even better at home.
Well, sit Thomas Jones then.
Yeah, both of them.
Really.
Jamal Charles catches out the backfield. Yeah.
That's true.
So we'll see what you guys think.
Any sleepers?
Man, like I said, I mentioned this team already. The Houston Texans play rusty. Go play rusty against the Houston Texans.
My sleeper is Steve Breston. Monday night versus the San Francisco 49ers.
That's a good one.
Steve Breston putting up numbers now. So you know
who my sleeper is going to be. It's going to be Brett Favre.
That's good. Cowboys fan.
We need something to talk about next week.
Brett Favre.
He ain't getting no sleep. Jen Sturgeon turned over loud.
I heard.
I didn't send my penis to her.
But
person. I just want to play with myself.
But we about to hop into a commercial break, and when we get back, we talking college football.
Some voices are more powerful than others.
Ask not what your country can do for
one
you.
One small step for man, one giant leap.
And the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
To your child, there is one voice that rises above all others, yours. Talking to your kids about the dangers of drugs will lower their chance of drug use by up to 50%. Get the help you need at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
We
blowing money fast on this second.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. Hey, Wally, let our folks know how to reach our Abergee's cousins down there.
You can hear Fish and Will Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. www.blogtalkradio.com/Apogees. Apogees is spelled APOGEEZS. And Ray, you forgot your, what was your
thing? Find out who your little sleeper was. Who was it, Ray?
Jacksonville's defense.
How they do?
They won.
They won. Who they play? Cleveland.
They played Cleveland. And Peyton Hillis put up points.
Yeah.
They got an interception. They got a good one against Colt McCoy.
Yeah, okay. I don't know the points, though.
But we talking college football right now, man. It's like rivalry weekend. We got a couple big games, national championship implications going on. First one, Auburn, Alabama. I mean, what you guys think about that, Cam?
It's not a big game.
Roll Tide, roll.
I mean, it's a big game within the state of Alabama, but Auburn is already going to the SEC championship regardless of what happens. So,
but this is gonna hurt. This can hurt their national championship bid though if they lose.
I mean,
if they win the SEC championship, I think they can still go to the national championship over a Boise. In the BCS, this is the BCS.
You think it depends if they don't get blown out though, right?
They're not going to get blown out. That's just a fact.
I think Alabama's going to blow them out.
I think that this is going to be the game to really prove that if Cam Newton can play,
yeah,
because Alabama's defense is good, and I also think that, I mean, their defense is good, and also if this is the game that you want to win, probably want to win over the SEC championship game, because you don't want to go in the SEC championship game on a losing streak, because we've seen what that happened, what's happened in the past with teams who've done that.
Did you not learn anything from the LSU game? I mean, you don't respect LSU, is that what you're saying?
I don't respect Les Miles. His
all he does is win.
His coaching is so, I mean, I just can't put a thing on his coaching strategy. I mean, he takes a gamble on everything. And it's, as an LSU, if you was an LSU fan, I'd be biting my nails.
Wow, you a fellow gambler.
That's what they're playing? LSU and
the NFL? Both of y'all are big time gamblers. That's how you win. You gamble.
It's a difference between stupidity. I believe
that. He got him a ring.
I believe South Carolina is an SEC championship game.
It's South Carolina. LSU.
Auburn, if they win, they'll be playing them.
Yeah.
I never argued that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're just confused with his LSU.
That's what I'm saying.
No. I'm saying you said Cam Newton. This is going to be his game to prove something.
Oh, like
in the LSU.
Got you.
He came back that game.
Saban's right now is a dominant coach in that conference. And Alabama's had, to me, the strongest team in there. I don't count the LSUs because they've struggled against everyone they played. But Alabama's that team. If he can beat them, then I think he can beat anybody in the nation. Because that's because of the type of talent that Alabama has.
Because of the coach. That's true. I agree.
I mean, who you guys going with the game? Obviously, I'm going with Auburn here. Who you going with over them game?
I'm going Bama.
About you, Ray?
I'll take Alabama.
All right. And our next game, we got Michigan against Ohio State it's a big rivalry game, but I had to say it. I'm going with Ohio State here. Michigan's defense is like a Big East team. It's terrible. It's terrible. I thought Rich Rodriguez was supposed to be bringing in talent and, you know, implicating a lot of different stuff, but, I mean, they can't stop anybody on defense.
I'm going to take Michigan Cam Newton, he's just totally wiped Terrell Pryor off the map as far as publicity goes, so... Maybe Terrell Pryor is not who we thought he was.
I'm going with Ohio State, and hopefully we get blown out so bad that they fire Rich Rodriguez.
But our last game, we got Oklahoma State playing Oklahoma. Oklahoma has dominated this series in history, but I'm going with Oklahoma State this year. Justin Blackmon, if you haven't seen him play,
big time wide receiver, right?
Man, that's like
Dez Bryant's little brother.
Yeah, probably. You know what? That's like Dez Bryant's big brother, because he's put up like 7-8 straight 100-yard touchdown and a touchdown and for the season. I mean, this dude is incredible, and he's only like a sophomore.
What they feed them boys down there? Because he just looks just
I guess
cut.
They feed the cheerleaders.
He
I don't
looks
know
just
what
as cut as Dez Bryant, even
yeah,
more.
He's like bigger than Dez
yeah,
Bryant.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm going to go Oklahoma State for the simple fact. I was watching, to turn away from the Monday Night Football game, I was watching Life of Jinx on MTV. And it's a running back in Texas. I think he's the number one running back. I think his name is Herschel Sims.
Yeah, I seen it.
You watched it? Mm-hmm. He's going to Oklahoma State, man. I like his story. So I'm rooting for Oklahoma State, man, to be a powerhouse soon so he can get to the NFL, man.
What's up?
Good story, man. Made me feel good about Randy McMichael suffering last night, being a blocker.
Yeah,
I'm
going to Oklahoma State. Fish, I'm impressed with that wide receiver.
But we about to hop into a commercial break. When we get back, we talking NBA and Tony Parker.
You got my text message?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, okay.
You heard the little song.
Yeah.
For the past 2 months, my daughter Karen and I haven't been talking much.
We used to talk about everything, sports, friends.
Even girlfriends.
But lately, Jason's been, well, I don't know.
Different. At first, I thought Kate was just being
a teen.
But then one night, Patrick came home acting funny. The next day, I found a
joint in Tanya's book bag.
I can't believe my kid is taking drugs.
What do I do now?
There are others out there with the same concerns as you. Learn from their experiences at drugfree.org. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene, man. We about to hop into the NBA segment of our show right here. I guess Tony Parker would call it dessert if he was talking about Brent Berry's wife.
He said not yet.
Man, what y'all think about that situation that's going on, though, man?
Brent Berry, that's dirty.
Is that like a thing that's going around in NBA? Because, you know, last year we had
Shaq and
Shaq. But then we had Shaq with Gilbert, baby mama, and then we had, you know, Mr. West with
LeBron James' LeBron. Mom.
Oh, man, I seen his
he
mama.
He denied that. I heard somebody on the radio earlier say that Tony Parker is now a first-team All-Tiger Woods selection because all these people now coming out of the world where women saying they got him on text messages and other things. But when you in that lifestyle, Wally and I talked about this before the show, man, you're never satisfied with what you got, man.
It's
amazing. But even Longoria, this is the role you play on TV. Desperate Housewives, this
is how you do it.
Exactly, man. Just hey, that's you. Role play, baby.
I just wonder if she's still going to be a Spurs fan or is she going to like switch over to the Mavericks now.
Hey,
she going to sit courtside?
Hey, courtside, try to holler at Tim Duncan.
Hey, I would. Hey, mess up their whole season.
He ain't going to show no emotion about it. He's like, nah, it's not true.
You know what? She should give him Popovich. That's way better.
It's like some Phil Jackson type stuff.
Knocking down Jenny Bass. Is it Jenny? What's her name?
Yeah, Jenny.
The oldest daughter.
Jenny Buss.
Yeah. I bet she is bussing.
Oh boy! This is the dessert, folks.
But other NBA news going on, man. The Raptors and the Hornets made a trade. I mean, what you guys think of that trade, though, man? I didn't even know they made a trade.
I like Jerry Jack. Jerry Jack is like the Brett Favre of basketball. He's like the Iron Man right now.
He's from this area, yeah.
Yeah. I heard him, Chris Paul, are related, too. That's what Al told me.
Are they?
That's what Al told him. He said they like distant cousins.
How is that significant?
He's going to New Orleans.
He's going with a distant cousin?
Yeah. I mean, trying to keep Chris Paul there in New Orleans? That's all
whatever
I'm
helps, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Moving along.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Yeah. I mean, after about the second, third cousin.
It's reported. Wally and Kendrick are reported.
They are cousins.
I'm saying some Vince Carter, Tracy McGrady type stuff.
Somebody
they ain't even really related, man.
Sweet
man,
Jeff Broussard.
They're all on the trade. The thing about the trade that I like is Jared Bayless getting an opportunity to play, maybe getting the start in Toronto.
He looks like my little cousin.
But what you guys think about the Thanksgiving games that's going to be on Thursday?
It's a waste of time.
Man, who would you put the Wizards on against Atlanta? Is that even going to be a good game?
The Wizards in Atlanta, and it's the Clippers and who?
Sacramento.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Really? Come on. And you're going against the NFL? Really?
I guess they got to fill some time slots or something. I mean, I guess they don't need, I don't know if they have Thanksgiving on the West Coast.
TNT's getting no ratings that night from me.
But I don't even know what to even say about that. But right now, I mean, it's serious.
Yeah.
The Clippers and the Kings, I'd rather go outside and see my uncles play basketball than see them. I mean, it's just bad.
Would you want to see that game, Ray?
Moving on.
Ray, like, no.
I heard Chris Paul and Jerry Jagger cousins. That's the big news right there.
We about to go to your segment.
This is Wally's segment.
You
man.
Know it.
Go hard in the paint,
go
man.
Ahead. Go give me the cue.
Oh, yeah. Hit the music, man. Perfect. Y'all want me to go first?
Yes, sir.
Last week, I had Eric Gordon. In his last three games, he averaged 23.6 points and 3 assists, including that 27 points versus New Orleans. And they actually got a rare victory, the Clippers. New Orleans, they only handed them their second loss, because that's New Orleans' second loss, and that's the Clippers' second win. So I thought that was interesting. And for this week, I'm going to roll with my man, Wesley Matthews from Portland. He's the seventh leading scorer amongst NBA sophomores behind Steph Curry, Tyreke Evans, Brandon Jennings, Drew Holiday, Darren Collison, DeMar DeRozan. I think that's good company. In his last three games, he scored 30 versus Memphis, 20-10 versus Denver, and 16 versus Utah, his old team. His next three games are against New Orleans, New Jersey, and Philly. I think he's going to ball.
Well, yeah. Well, I chose Roy Hibbert last weekend. Last week, he averaged 18 points and 11 rebounds, including a 19-point, 10-rebound game against Dwight Howard. This week, I'm choosing Darko Milicic.
What are you? Are you Will?
Well, let me finish. Over the last couple of games, he had 23 points against the Lakers, and he had 21 against the Thunder last night. So, Darko Milicic, in the last couple of games, has been scoring points.
Maybe I should have went with Gallinari then.
Well, I went with your boy last week, Wally. I went with Beasley. In the last five games, he scored at least 25 points or more in the last five games. He's really been getting out a lot. Even though they've been 1-4 those last five games. But they did beat that one game winner against the Lakers. He put up, I think he, what, was that the game he put up 33?
Not the game winner against the Lakers. It was the game winner against the Clippers.
Oh, it was the Clippers?
Yes,
okay. Right now, he's been getting out a lot. I think that combination of him playing with Kevin Love is a perfect feed off each other with his scoring and Kevin Love's pretty much banging around on the inside. I mean, right now, they're a formidable front line. You know, in years to come, they can keep it going. I think him going to Miami was a great thing. I think what he really got from that was just a change of scenery. I mean, you can really see what that happens with certain players. Right now, I'm going hard in the paint with Pat Riley. Things ain't heating up in Miami right now. What's his name? Cipolio? I don't even know how to pronounce his name. He's going to be watching. He's going to be brought back to be in a video tech. Because Pat Riley is probably upset.
Eric
Spoelstra. Strong teeth, man.
I just want to say on
they all strong. They like this.
Hey.
That's why I toot.
On another note, though, man, I got that Target text message. If you call, you get that gift
Black
card.
Yeah.
If you call it, I just found out that it says, quote, how to keep an idiot entertained. Laugh out loud.
So that's why I have technology.
There will be no $250 on Black Friday, baby.
Jerks.
Real talk. Hey, that music is cranking, man. Keep it up and take a commercial break, homie.
Don't skip it.
But we about to hop into a commercial break. When we get back, we talking real talk segment.
Duty, freedom, country, family. They're the values that make America strong and what our armed forces are fighting to defend. While many talk about these ideals without action, they are just empty words. If you think America's military families deserve more, log on to thanksusa.org. It's a great way to thank our troops and give military families the gift of education. thanksusa.org. Scholarships for America's military families. You can make a difference.
The world is very different now. You know why? You know why?
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We're about to hop into our Real Talk segment here. Ray, you want to take the lead on this? This is something you brought up as far as on the topic you wanted to talk about.
Well, after seeing Michael Vick succeed against the Redskins, the Giants, pretty much his whole season, it got me to thinking, does Plaxico Burress have now a better shot at getting back to the NFL because of Vick's road to redemption? You know, the T.I. whole thing. Hope Vick doesn't make a mistake, go back to jail. He might celebrate with his girl. But and they got a lot of kids too. So it's Atlanta. Hey, it's a whole lot of similarities. Anyway, let's be real. I mean, I want to hear what you guys think. I actually think that Burris will get another chance now in the NFL because of Michael Vick's success. I think more GMs will be inclined to pick him up for a low price.
You want
to
like go Vick. Take his wallet?
Burris. Yeah, I mean, Plaxico should definitely get a second chance. He shot himself. That's all he did.
So Cheddar Bob. My question though is, will Goodell suspend him additionally when he comes back? Because that's what happened to Michael Vick.
Yeah, he'll want to stay consistent. He'll do that.
Well, see, that might be his downfall right there for the simple fact
he's an older guy.
Yeah. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, to feed off what you were about to say, Ray, I don't see him coming back. The reason being is when Michael Vick got suspended and went through the situation he went through, he was still young and, you know, in the prime years. He was only barely in his late 20s when he went through that. Right now with Plaxico, I mean, Plaxico was pretty much almost turning 30-plus years old when this situation started to develop. And right now, he's been out of football for a couple of seasons. And, you know, it's different. I think it's a lot different with a wide receiver and compared to a quarterback. The difference being that, you know, as far as Plaxico's skill level, it's not like, you know, he was a fast guy. If he does lose speed, he's still going to be fast. As far as Michael Vick, if Michael Vick loses speed, he's still going to be fast. So I think right now the skill level that Plaxico's pretty much lost in prison, he can't really make that up. I mean, the only thing he can make up, he's going to have size, but who's know what type of condition he's going to get?
He's not Charles Rogers. I will say that. But Mike Williams from Seattle came back after missing several years in the NFL. I think Plaxico can get a deal where Maurice Clarett was playing, which is going to take me to my next question. And I believe he has a shot. I think Vick does owe it to people like Maurice Clarett and Plaxico Burress, football players who once were, you know, at high points in their careers. Maurice Correa did win a championship. He was the best running back at one point in college. Burris, you know the story.
Yeah.
Should have been Super Bowl MVP, but they had to give it to a Manning. So, actually, Michael Vick should reach out to him. I do believe he called Plaxico Burress when Plaxico Burress first went to jail to let him know that, hey, man, hang in there. It's going to be a slow process, but I went through it. I got through it. You'll make it back. I think also that Vick should advocate on behalf of Plaxico to get back in the NFL because he, out of all people, knows about second chances.
Well, the thing about getting him back is, like, I mean, there's a difference between getting him back and being able to compete. With Mike Williams, I mean, Mike Williams was still in his mid-20s. The thing about Plaxico is you got to look at his age and his skill. I mean, his skill-wise, I mean, getting him back is probably easy, but, I mean, does he have the skill to stay in the NFL if he does come back? Or, I mean, be able to at least compete?
His skill set, like you say, he's never been a speed guy. With that being said, he doesn't need that coming back. Uh-huh. He can still catch a jump ball.
But, yeah. I mean, we just have to, I mean, it's not like, we have to see what his skill set looks like. I mean, we've seen a lot of older receivers, you know, break down once they get to that certain point. Let me look at Marvin Harrison. When Marvin Harrison reached a certain age, his body started to break down a little bit.
Look at Joey Galloway.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the only thing I would say about Plaxico.
To play devil's advocate, though, he is spending a year away from the NFL, so his body's fresh.
Well, we say that, but it's not like when you're in prison, they don't give you weights.
No, I know. Right.
I mean, so in the food wise, I mean, the food they feed you in prison isn't really the greatest food for a person in jail.
Somehow, Michael Vick and Tony Yayo came out bigger.
But you got to really remember last year with Michael Vick. Michael Vick wasn't even in great shape last year.
Yeah, he wasn't in football shape.
It took him this all season to really get into that type of condition that he's in right now.
I think Plaxico could, you know, he won't. Obviously, as soon as he gets out of jail and if he does sign on to a team, he won't be, you know, a productive wide receiver. But that year after, I think he can still.
But how old would he be by then? Because you got to realize when he does come out, he's going to be suspended at least for a season.
There's been wide receivers who took a break. Huh?
He's going to be suspended for a season?
I think he's going to be suspended for a season.
How long is Vick? Don't he have four games?
I think when Plaxico's comes out, he's going to at least get. Vick also got suspended part of his season in Atlanta. Remember that?
No, that was during the offseason when he got caught up.
But he didn't play, though. Uh-huh. That was his part of his suspension.
Goodell, I think Roger Goodell.
But he got suspended before that verdict.
I think Roger Goodell will give him
indefinitely. Yeah, because they didn't know what was going to happen.
But I think when Plaxico, he's going to have to serve some type of suspension.
I think when Plaxico gets released from jail, I think Roger Goodell is going to be consistent to what he did with Michael Vick. He's going to say to himself, because he's based on consistency. He doesn't want to look different to anybody else. He's going to say he spent his time in jail. That's punishment right there. He'll give him four games. I think he'll give him four games, honestly. And I think that will be his punishment. Now, a team will pick him. I think a team will probably take the chance on him, I think. But like I said, he will not be productive till the year after. I think that's when he's going to be productive.
My thing is, will he even be worth picking up?
He'll be cheap.
The thing about the production-wise is, okay, he's already, I mean, it's not like his game was elevating when he was with the Giants. He was playing good, but at the same time, remember, Plaxico got drafted 2000.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, that's already 10 years in the league. Then we talking, you know, the time he's missed. And it's not like Plaxico was, you know, he was already having injury problems when he did shoot himself.
But
we got to realize, I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, he's getting to the point where receivers are starting to really retire. I mean, not everyone can be T.O. And Randy Moss and played 13, 14, 15
Galloway
seasons.
Galloway still
But I'll say
and
this, though.
He's making a fool of himself playing.
Yeah, he is, though.
He should retire 3-4 seasons.
He is, definitely.
Yes, he is,
yes,
man.
Yes, he is. I'll say this about
Daryl Green is Joey Galloway, man.
No, he's not.
No, don't insult Daryl Green like that.
Anyway, that's another
segment. I'm sorry. As far as the Maurice Correct thing, I think the difference between him, Michael Vick, and Burris and Claret. Claret was good 1 year in college. I mean, seriously. He was good 1 year in college. And he had his shot at the NFL and he got cut.
Well, I understand. I'm not saying bring him to the NFL. I'm just saying, to me, Vick needs to do his job as far as going out and reaching out to these dudes. Don't just do what you're required to do with the Humane Society, which is so phony. I mean, he said the same stuff everywhere he goes. Every school he goes to, well, you know, think about your actions. It could cost you millions. That's what he's saying. That's an urban translation, dog.
I think he would better be suited if he talked to college players. Because as you see right now, it's always a lot of
Made any money yet.
No. When you look at a lot of college programs, you always see players in college getting in some type of as far as violence, some type. I mean, college players get, they go to jail left and right. I think his best bet, I mean, his best thing for him would be talking to college players.
That's Randy Moss's job.
But yeah, I like your point, Fish, because you know a lot of these young, like a lot of these young college players look up to Michael Vick. They do. They do look up to him. DeSean Jackson. I mean, he's, even you know, you would think, you know, Michael Vick's not that old, but people like DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin, they look up to Michael Vick, and they're relatively young. So if he went back to college, I think he could do the same thing.
You watch Sunday Night Football when LeSean McCoy said we look up to him.
And
we all heard that.
I know. Yeah,
it's not exclusive.
Like this. Look,
that's not exclusive.
It's not exclusive.
So, I mean, the reason why I say Claret, because Claret was in a similar situation. Obviously, there's a lot of situations like that. Michael Vick can't reach out to everybody, but a rookie symposium thing, maybe he can do that as a requirement, yes, or volunteer to do that for Goodell, incoming rookies, because it's better than Chris Carter doing it. Did y'all see when he did it?
Yeah, he was a little too thorough with his.
I mean, as if he wasn't snorting in his career.
I think with Chris Carter, I mean, it's almost like he acted like those Philly years didn't exist.
Oh, they did.
Oh, yeah.
They really did.
It's like, man, we know why you made it to the end zone. You seen that white line. It's okay.
Hey. I know, he talks about Randy Moss as if he's like,
I know,
he's
like
Randy Moss' stepfather.
Like, he goes in on Randy Moss.
Oh my
God! But crazy. Yeah, they probably would be, in terms of rookie symposium, it would do them good to get somebody younger like a Michael Vick instead of a Chris Carter. I think that's a good idea.
Absolutely, somebody who's lived through a prison sentence, man, while making millions. I mean, I agree with your point. So, I guess Burris won't be coming back, according to Fish.
The reason why I say that is the type of, I mean, you have to look at, all right, he's been out of the league for how many years?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 2+ years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fact that it's not like he getting any younger, and his skill set ain't going to keep improving. I mean, Michael Vick went to jail in his prime, and it's probably helped him out from the wear and tear he took as a quarterback.
This is my only question. Well, I mean, when did Jimmy Smith come back to the league?
What do you mean, Jimmy Smith?
The wide receiver, Jacksonville. Because you know he left and he had to come back. He was in the Cowboys first, and he went to Jacksonville.
He wasn't out of football that long.
He was a crackhead. I mean, so I'm just asking a question.
He wasn't out of football that long.
Jones is a better example of that, because
he wasn't out of football.
He left football for what?
Jimmy Smith wasn't out of.
He was an older player. That's
Jimmy Smith wasn't out of football that long.
He wasn't. Okay. No. Now I'm just asking a question.
The Cowboys released him, and Jacksonville picked him up in the expansion draft.
Okay.
He wasn't out of football. Well, Plaxico's, I mean, he's been out of football for 2+ seasons. And the other difference is, I mean, look at the age wise. I mean, Jimmy Smith was what, 23, 24 at the time?
Was he? I thought he was a little older.
He only played maybe 2 seasons with the Cowboys before they got rid of him.
I thought he was a little bit of an older player.
No.
That was wrong.
Majority of his career was in Jacksonville. People even forget he even played
for
he got drafted by the Cowboys.
I knew in the show off, so you're basically saying that Burris was younger, it would be a much better shot, basically.
I think he would have a better chance if he was a little bit younger, but because of his age-wise, I think the hill to climb to get there is going to be a little hard.
And Vic shouldn't reach out to him at all.
I mean, he's already in jail. What's Vic going to tell him? You know, you need to make a shank out of this and that.
Well, why did Tony Dungy reach out to Vic? He was in jail.
Like,
it's to uplift somebody, man. Yeah. You need to see somebody who's been in your situation.
That's
dog.
True.
It's like,
I agree.
It's like we're both married, as an example. Like, I would like to talk to a married man. I'm already there.
It's not like, I mean, Michael Vic can't reach out to him, but it's almost like, all right, man, he is locked up. I mean, I ain't supposed to talk to him.
Well,
anyway,
it is Thanksgiving. He can teach him how to make some wine.
Tony Dungy, it seemed like every time somebody in trouble, Tony Dungy come running, and it's like, man, you don't go through what I go through.
No, Tony Dungy does a lot of work with the prisons in
he
general.
He does.
You know, his
churches
here,
and
so.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean,
churches and everything.
It's about to be Thanksgiving, dog, and you're in jail. You got to get the Cisco cranberries, though, out the big can with a hair in it. I mean, hey, it is what it is. Now, Michael Vick needs to do more than just, you know, talking about, well, I shouldn't have fought dogs. It's inhumane. Dog, come on, man. That's not how he talks. He owes it to Burris. He owes it to Claret. Grey Goose, we out, man. I'm done, man. That's all I got to say. Michael Vick, you owe Atlanta, too, man. That's why I'm
Get
really
over
mad.
It, man. Get over it.
You owe Atlanta. You didn't study anything.
What was his name? Ron Mexico?
Exactly. You giving the girls the herps. The herps. The herps.
Well, you got any final thoughts, Wally,
before we
get out of here?
Yeah, well, just enjoy Thanksgiving with your families. You know, wish everybody the best out there.
How about you, Ron?
Happy Thanksgiving. John Madden, you know, hopefully he survives another Thanksgiving with the turducken. Because that thing don't look real.
That thing looks like it's on steroids.
They got like 14
I always wanted to tear that thing up.
I would like to have a blooming onion on Thanksgiving. I mean, he got an Outback bus. I think that's tight, man. Anyway, I go hard in the paint, baby. Thanksgiving, I'm going hard.
I'm going hard
in the
paint. Now I'm going hard in the paint. grubbing.
Well, that wraps up another episode of Urban Sports Scene. We'll see you guys next week.
Will T's coming back, man. Yeah, the ratings are going to go sky high. It's going to be ballistic. You know, the show is going to be much longer.
Yeah, then we can hit that championship. Nah.